This series we've been doing has been countering lies that destroy lives. And then as we look at this, we realize that no matter what is ever made, whatever man it makes, there's always going to be a foundation to that. And at times those foundations can be challenged. At times those foundations will even crumble. But what always remains is God's very presence. And we see that Christmas is going to be no different to that. I'm going to read the introduction. If you want to, you may listen or you may follow along. In the beginning, God. But in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a virgin. This week, we are going to examine countering lies that destroy lives in the church. There is no better time than this season of ho, 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 and holy, holy, holy. Which lies destroy lives and which are just fantasies that fascinate people's imaginations? As we approach the holiday season, there are many stories about Christmas that accommodate this once pagan holiday. While it is true the early church took a pagan holiday and made it its own, the virgin birth and the Old Testament prophecies surrounding Christ are worth celebrating. The current sting and the outright hurt many Christians in America are experiencing about this season has much to do with a cultural shift. Folklore of Christmas is returning to its pagan origin. Two unequally yoked beliefs are splitting. In some ways, it's similar to a messy divorce. The once happy marriage Christians had with their national heritage is now making its way through the court of public opinion. Who is going to get custody of Christmas? Will visitation be split between the two families? Or will Christmas simply give up its illegitimate holiday? Will its name be changed to Happy Holidays to accommodate the other side? Many have done just that, while others have celebrate both the fun of folklore and the glory of God sending his only begotten son into the world, born of a virgin. As we look at this holiday season, as with anything that is of value in life, we realize that there are always going to be those things which bring us together, those things which will actually cause us to question our very belief and foundations. In order for life to have meaning, there are four things in which it must have. There must be wonderment. There must be truth. There must be relationships. And there must be security. And when we look at this Christmas story, that's exactly what we'll see. We'll see all four. We'll see the Gospels having put all these things together. The wonderment, when you look at that tree. There is a picture that we have on that I have on my phone of my grandson, Grant, last year as he was looking at one of the Christmas bulbs. And his hands were fluttering like this. And his face was wide and open, bright-eyed. His mouth is like, ah! And you could press the button on the cell phone, and it became one of those live photos that captured everything. The wonderment. The wonderment, not only of Christmas, but also of childhood. And that's something that we never want to lose. At our house, I try to feel that wonderment, much to my wife's chagrin. I decorate the house. I act like a little elf and a little child at times. But that's the wonderment. I don't want to lose that wonderment. That wonderment of the season, that wonderment of life. But there's also, as we grow older, we realize you have to have truth. Wonderment in and of itself will just fall away. But there needs to be truth for it to be sustainable. And there needs to be relationships. Because without it, without having those relationships, why do we continue on? And there must be a sense of security. And the gospel message is this, is just that. When we look at that, we can look at the two Gospels that actually talk about the birth of Christ, and two Gospels remain silent. And we call it the Gospel because it's the good news. The good news of Christ being born. That's what the angels first said the good news. As we look at that, we can look at the book of Matthew and we can look at the book of Luke. In both instances, we can see good news. Yes, celebratory news. The heavens opened up and the angels sang, and there was great reason to celebrate. That's found in Luke as well. But also it was disturbing news. It was disturbing to those who were not anticipating it. It was disturbing to Mary and to Joseph as they heard for the first time that God had chosen them for what he wanted to accomplish. So let's look at that. We will look at the chapters of Matthew 1 and 2. When we look at the Christmas story and we look at Matthew, we are told that, unlike the other ones, he talks about the Magi. Who are the Magi? They are people who had studied the scriptures. They studied many other things as well. They had many beliefs, and they came from the East. Matter of fact, it may have been actually that they were introduced to the scriptures early on, when the exile, when the children of Israel were moved to other parts of the country, other parts of the world. And they came because they saw a star. Now, the wonderment of the star is that it was never there before. Somehow, a comet had moved into the actual sky area that said, this is the land. This is the story of the children of Israel. But the Jewish people looked at it a bit different. They looked at it as the Shekinah glory, the glory that actually shone over the tabernacle. Remember when Moses came and he took the children of Israel and he took them out of the land of Egypt. And God said that he would build it, he would draw them and move them around, and he would take them to a promised land. Well, they were moved every time the Shekinah glory would move over the temple, over the tabernacle. When it moved, they would move. And so you would see that all of a sudden it would rise up and no longer over the tabernacle, which stood in the very center of Israel, so that every tribe could see it. It picked up and it moved. Well, the Jewish idea is that those who come to Christ, that was the Shekinah glory. That was floating and that came over. And it's interesting that that is what they picked up on. They saw something going across the sky. And there were those who were well prepared to receive this news, and there were not. We read that actually it is going to be here in Matthew, years after, maybe 1, maybe 2 years, after Jesus had actually been born, that the Magi make their way. And they come into Jerusalem because that is the capital. And they come to Herod, of all people, who should know that a king of the Jews had been born, because that's what was written in the skies. But when they came, they were not aware of it. And they were disturbed by it. And as we read here in the account of Matthew, not only was Herod disturbed, who was in charge of this country and in charge of this people, but people of all Jerusalem, they were disturbed by this new found discovery. Why would they be disturbed? Because their lives were good. They enjoyed what they were doing. There is this conflict that, yes, God would come and he would deliver Israel someday and he would remove them from the Roman Empire, but there was also this idea that they were comfortable with that. Just as they were comfortable in the land of Egypt, they were comfortable in Jerusalem. The leaders of the temple, the religious leaders, they had a special privilege with Herod, and they worked with Herod, and they could do their business and keep things going with Herod. And when the news of a Christ of being born, that was disturbing to them, because all of a sudden, they saw everything that they had in place was going to be disrupted, and that bothered them. So Matthew tells us about Herod. He tells us about the good news that the Magi saw, and they were excited about this. It's interesting to note A child is born. And 30 years, people had opportunity to be prepared. The Magi came and they found the Christ child. They saw exactly what they had been told, what the scriptures of Daniel had foretold. They saw exactly, they saw the expectation, they saw the hope, and they were excited by it. And they went back to their own land. It would be 30, 40, 50 years before they would hear the full story of what that Christ child did, of who he was. It would take all that time, but they waited with anticipation. Their hearts were being prepared. Now, with Herod, with Jerusalem and the religious leaders, they had 30 years before Jesus started his public ministry. But they were ill-prepared. They did not want to receive it. Matter of fact, Herod had sent the guards in to kill every man child who was 2 years and younger so that he didn't have to deal with that. Can you imagine what that must have been like? If you would take all the male children in Bronson and for 2 years you would kill them, they would be wiped out. As they would have come through graduation, only women, only women. And there would be no man child. And so the effects of it was long lasting. The cry of it was great. But God had moved out his son through Mary and through Joseph. And he had protected him. So often the wonderment of what we do and we celebrate, it has those features in it. It has the idea that there is wonder when you see the Star of Bethlehem, when you see the expectation of all that goes on. But also, there are those disturbing. Those, the news is disturbing too. If we look at the book of Luke, we will also see that there is good news. And it's good news to the shepherds. Now, what's interesting about the shepherds as they sat on the flock, as they lived outside, as the scriptures tell us, they lived outside because there was no place for them in the city. Though there was no place for Christ in the inn, there was no place for them in the city. They were a people who really were despised. Things had changed radically for them. At one time, It was a profession that was well respected and well received, and then all of a sudden it became the very opposite, and they were despised, and they had no place in which they could live, and they were out on the field. And you would think, wow, these are Jewish shepherds, possibly. They were possibly Jewish shepherds. There's nothing in Scripture that tells us they were. They were shepherds that we know. And so when the angels came to them in all that glory, and they came to him and they said, "We bring you good news that shall be to all people." Just not to the Jewish people, but to all people. They were amazed. And they were told, go and see what Christ has done for you. When the angels came, the message was personal. It wasn't, go see what God is going to do for the world. Go and see what God is going to do for you. And as they went and they found Mary, they worshiped the child. They worshiped the child. They did not worship Mary. They did not worship Joseph. They worshiped the child. And the fact that it was with the great anticipation of all that God was going to do with this infant child. And if you look at a child, they're beautiful to look at, and there's a sense of wonderment to them, absolutely. But there's not much they do. They just kind of sit there. You have to take care of them. But when parents have a newborn child, as they're holding this and they're looking at the wonderment, the beauty of creation, they're thinking about the future and everything that's going to take place. They think about who this child would become. Who will he be like? What will he do? And so there's a lot of hope. There's a lot of investment in this child. Luke also talks about there were some others who were anticipating the coming of the Christ. We see that it was Zacharias. We see that Zacharias, as he would go in every day and he would pray according to the time, his allotted time, and people outside the temple would actually, in fact, be praying as well. He went in there, and there he was sent the prayers up, and it would be the smoking and the fumes of everything up, according to God commanded. On the right hand side was an angel, and the right hand side, as the angel would stand there, Zacharias became afraid, and the words he spoke were these words: Zacharias, your prayers have been answered. Your wife shall have a child. Zacharias' prayers were not that his wife would have a child. Those days had passed. They were far beyond him. What Zacharias was praying for, and what the people outside the temple were praying for, was the coming of the Messiah. Your answers, your prayers have been answered. And so that's exactly as we would see. He was anticipating. He knew what God had promised, and he was anticipating the Savior. We also see that though he was frightened, it soon became words of encouragement to him. And the child that he would have would be John the Baptist, and it would be preparing the way. We also see that there are others who were actually excited about the new good news. Simeon, an old man who every day would pray and pray and pray. And then when God had told him, someday you will see. I will not take you out of this world till you will see the promise. And so when Joseph and when Mary, they came. They came to bring the Christ child, and for according to all that the law had informed them to do, and he saw him, he knew and he accepted the good news. This is what he was waiting for. He was waiting for this in prayer for many, many years. And so the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the gospel truth, has both the good news that's received by those who are well prepared to see it. We also are shown that it also is disturbing news for those who are not well prepared to receive it. And we look at this Christmas story and we see a division here. It is a story of anticipation of not just what a child shall do, that a child was born, but what that would mean, what that would mean for everyone. We have a reason to celebrate. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you. These are the words that were spoken to Mary. Mary, you are highly favored. Well, sometimes we take that word favored and we want to say, Mary, you're my favorite. I've chosen you. But that's not what it says. You're highly favored, meaning I've given you a lot of grace. You're highly favored because I have shown multitude of grace upon you, that she should carry the Christ child. And if we look at the words of Mary, how she exalted and everything that meant, that who this child would become and all this child would do, she was highly favored. I'm going to ask you to do the exact same thing. If you know Jesus Christ, you are highly favored. You are highly favored among women. You are highly favored among men. You are highly favored among mankind. Because as the mother of Jesus carried Jesus within her womb, God had for us to carry God in our hearts. It's amazing. We always talk about the Christmas story, about there was no room for them at the inn. And there wasn't. And they ended up going to a manger. All the blessings that you would think that would come your way as being highly favored, when is he going to be able to cash in on those? No place for the inn. They were not receiving. Jesus actually kind of speaks to that issue. in the book of John when he's talking to the Pharisees. The reason you don't receive me is the same reason Jerusalem didn't receive me. There was no room, or Bethlehem didn't receive me. There was no room for me in the inn. Pharisees, you have no room in your heart for my words. You have no room in your heart for my words. And that is really the story of Christmas. We can look at the wonderment and everything else, but if our heart is filled with other things, there's no room in it. And just as Jesus says to the Pharisees, you have all these religious practices, you come to church and you do this, that, and the other, but if you have no room in your heart for the wonderment that I have to give you, for the truth of who I am and everything that I have said about myself, for the relationship that I want to have with you and I want you to have with others, and for the security of knowing that. If you have no room in your heart, you've really missed the Christmas story. You know, we can celebrate all the silliness of it. It's a lot of fun. We can give our presents to our kids and they can open them, as my one grandson did. Here's the gift. And he says, I hope this isn't clothes, you know. And my daughter's face like, whoop, oh no. Opens it up. There it is. Here. Thanks. What's next? All right. The gift that God gives us is truly beautiful. If you look at the story, how the Magi came, and how Jesus and how the Father, through the angel Gabriel, came to Mary. He unwrapped the gift, and he said, it's here. He didn't say unwrap it. The Magi took it out of what they had it covered in, and they handed it to Jesus. When the angels came, they said, you've been highly favored. But the final words, may it be unto me, Mary said, your servant. And that's what God does. At this Christmas season, the message is always this. He unwraps it and he gives it so that you can see very clearly, do I want to accept it? Or do I want to say, really wasn't looking for clothes this year, okay? But does that mean you know everything that's going to happen? No. But you know that when that gift is that you're receiving God, that he will always be with you. As the song of us stated, Mary, did you know? Did you know all the joy that your son is going to bring this world? That the lame will walk, that the blind will see. Mary, did you know? Never have anticipated everything that this son was going to give to people. And when God gives us his spirit and he gives us his life and he gives us his wonderment, he gives us a relationship with him and he gives us security, there are things we'll never know and we will be amazed. We will be amazed. But at the same time, there will be also things that Mary never knew. When you think about being a king into the world, you would never think that the king would be crucified. You never would anticipate that he would be physically beaten, humiliated. That's not what you expect. But yet that was exactly what she experienced. And when Mary on that third day went to the tomb, she wasn't expecting to see a risen son, a risen savior. All of that hope had been dashed. She was coming simply to prepare that body. You know, at times in your Christian faith, that's exactly what will happen. We will be amazed at everything that God does for us, the wonders of life. And there will be times when all of that has been destroyed. And all we will do is go forward. And when that has happened, then the true amazement comes that God can work in the darkest of circumstances. When you are the loneliest, he is always there. And I can think of times in my own life as I have prayed and have been beaten down, and I think to myself, God, where in the world is this going to go? His Spirit reveals to me his very presence, and I say, God, I don't know, but thank you. Thank you. It started at conversion. It started at Christmas, my new birth. It started there. If you've ever accepted Christ, the wonderment, how God could send your gift into my heart. And it's wonderment. It's amazement. But it's not over. It will never be over. Because even when this world is done, it doesn't end. And we go on to glory. And we will be more amazed and more wondered at all that God has done. Today's application is it good news or is it disturbing? Where are you right now? The story of Christ, he unwrapped the gift. But in the point in your life, is it good news to you or is it disturbing? It was disturbing to Mary, but she made it and realized how God's favor was upon her. Favor upon favor. You who are highly favored, are you ready to be amazed? We go into this Christmas season. Let's be amazed. Let's be amazed at everything God has done, everything he wants to do, and let's enjoy. You may enjoy the folklore, but are you ready to celebrate the glory of God? We're coming into a season where it's ho, 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 and I hope your Christmas has a lot of ho, ho, ho. It's a lot of fun. But I also pray that it has a lot of holy, 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 because that's the world in which we live in. That's the Christmas we can offer to the world. I encourage you to take a look at, if you're not doing the small group readings, to at least take a look at the back and the small group outline. Because I think it presents a pretty interesting challenge to this Christmas season to each and every one of us. So take it home this weekend and look at it over and study it. I think you're going to find it's well worthwhile. This is a time of joyous celebration. This is a time of joy to the world. Some are disturbed by it. Others receive it openly. Let's prepare our hearts as we go into this season to receive it with great joy. If the worship team at this time would come up, I'll ask them to lead in a word of song, and then I will close with a word of prayer.